In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. You know, it was really appropriate, the reading for the Candle of Peace today, talking about how we live in a chaotic world full of violence and unrest. We know what that's like, don't we? Because we have that in our own lives, unrest. Peace can be pretty elusive. We all have some kind of turmoil that we're all dealing with. You know, we just read about Mary who said to the angel, "Okay, all right, how are you going to make this happen?" And the angel says, "By the power of God." Mary says, "Be it unto me as you've said." And Mary, who's engaged to Joseph, then becomes pregnant by the power of God. First off, nobody's going to believe that. And the customs in her day were if she were to do something like that to get pregnant, she could be stoned to death. And of course, everybody would start talking about her behind her back, because that's what we do, isn't it? That's what we do. We complain and we talk about each other. "Did you see what he wore today? Did you see what she said? I mean, hear what she said?" And it's we love talking about it. So you can imagine when Mary became pregnant, everybody talked about her. And probably people were even saying, "You know, we should stone her to death. We got that right. It's our custom." And then they started talking about Joseph. And how did Joseph feel about all this? And then when the governor said everybody has to go to be taxed and they have to go to their hometown, Joseph said, "Well, I've got to go all the way over to Bethlehem." And Mary, who is, you know, pregnant, very pregnant, she says, "I'm going with him." She didn't want to stay home where everybody was talking about her and threatening her and maligning her and the family and Joseph. She wanted to be with her husband. So she goes with him, riding on a donkey. How many people here have ridden on a donkey? How many of you have ridden on a horse? Now, even that's not easy. You know, I've been on a horse several times. I couldn't get the hang of it. That horse would come up, I'd go down. Can you imagine being on a donkey? We're not talking paved roads. We're talking a trail. She's riding on a donkey, pregnant. I tell you what, our first child, Justin, who is now the pastor at the Trinity United Methodist in Trafford, Justin was 2 weeks late. And we didn't think he was ever going to get here. And Bonnie and I went up to her cousins over in Level Green to visit. They had a little farm. They had some horses. They had a horse buggy. And they said, "You want to go for a ride?" Me and Bonnie said, "Yeah, let's go for a ride." So we got on this horse buggy with her, and she took us down the road and back. And it was like this. There were no shocks. And Justin came along, because right after that, Bonnie went into labor. So could you imagine Mary about to deliver, rides this donkey all the way to Bethlehem? No wonder when they got there, she gets off that donkey. And it's time. It is time for her to give birth. And they go pounding on the door to the inn. There's no room. We're full up because everybody is here to be taxed. And they start, we showed a movie clip last night at our 6 p.m. service. And it shows Joseph carrying Mary running up and down the streets. Will somebody please give us a room? Anybody, give us shelter. My wife is going to give birth. Nobody. Finally, somebody has compassion on them and says, there's a stable out there. You know, it's got a roof on it. So they go out to the stable where, of course, Jesus is born. The amazing thing is, through all that commotion, all that discomfort and pain, Mary had peace. There was peace. Can you imagine being shot in the head? Shot in the head, laying in the snow, a mile or more out in the woods, nobody around you, all by yourself, blood everywhere, loud roaring noise like a jet engine. And you lay there and you're waiting to die. That happened to me many years ago. Dropped my rifle, shot myself in the head. The first thing I said was, I said out loud, sweet Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now I tell you this again because I want you to come with me and experience the peace that I had, because the very moment that it popped out of my mouth and I said, sweet Jesus, into thy hands I commit my spirit, it was like I was a little child again. My mother had wrapped her arms around me. I didn't have a care in the world. I had a peace that was so thick you could cut it with a knife. I had a peace that was so wonderful, I can't wait to go back here. I'm afraid of how I'm going to get there, but I am not afraid of being there. Nobody else, you don't have to fear death, my brothers and sisters. It is a sweet release. I think most of us fear the manner of dying. But there was a peace that was so wonderful. Oh, man, I felt great. That peace that doesn't make any sense at all. It passes all understanding. A crazy kind of peace. Bonnie doesn't like the fact that I feel that way about dying, but I'm in no rush to go. I don't want to leave Bonnie. I don't want to leave the kids. I don't want to leave you. Yeah, I love telling people about Jesus. I love working together to spread the gospel out into the community. I love upsetting the apple cart. I do. Boy, you know, the disciples were said to be people who turned the world upside down, and we like doing that, don't we, Eric? You're another one. We love to upset the apple cart. Say, what? He did what? You know, we got that reputation now in the neighborhood, our church. We're kind of crazy. Those crazy people gave stuff away. What's the matter with them? Yeah, baby, bring it on. Let me tell you about Jesus, because that's what it's all about. Mary's life turned upside down. She had peace. John the Baptist, his life turned upside down. He had peace. The disciples' lives, well, they were threatened, persecuted, even to the point of death. They were killed in a variety of manners, and yet they had peace the whole time. Paul and Silas were thrown into the deepest, darkest part of the prison, put in stocks and chains. And what did they do? Pitch black, they started singing praises to God. They had peace. Stephen, while he was being stoned to death for preaching Jesus Christ to everybody, they took him outside the city, they took off their coats, and they handed him to a young man named Saul, who would later be renamed Paul. They took their coats off and they picked up stones and they stoned Stephen to death. And he had peace. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." He had peace. And man, can you imagine having peace in circumstances like that? It doesn't make any sense. It's a crazy kind of peace. John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, no matter what you're going through." What's different between Jesus' peace and the world's peace? The world's peace depends on circumstances. The world says, "I'm going to bring you peace by changing what's happening around you so that you can be at peace." Jesus says, "I'm going to give you peace so that no matter what you're going through, you're going to feel this inner peace. You're going to be at peace. I'm not going to change your circumstances. I'm going to change you. I'm going to tell you that everything's going to be okay." Romans 8:18 says what? Was our memory verse today. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That's peace. That's peace. That's the Christmas gift. And I can't tell you how many people I've known who were going through turmoil of some kind or another. I have known hundreds of people over almost 25 years of ministry who were going through some kind of crisis, and they had peace. You could see it in their eyes, hear it in their voices. I've been there with people who have lost loved ones. They've lost jobs. They've even lost their homes due to a fire. And yet they had this crazy peace. Certainly the circumstances they were going through said that they should have been angry or afraid, but they weren't. I've even been there with people who were dying. Too many people. I've been with a lot of people when they've drawn their last breath. I've held their hands. I've been there. I've got some images burned in my brain that I can't get rid of. And some of them break my heart, but at the same time, these people, they had this crazy peace. There they are dying. And they're telling me it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. I just want to go home. I just want to be with my Lord. A crazy kind of peace. We had one fellow. He was in his 90s. He was a pillar of the church in his day. Sunday school teacher. He was on the council, trustees. He did it all. Lay speaker. Man was well respected in the community. His health got such that he didn't come to church anymore. And I would go and visit him regularly. And we would sit around and talk about scriptures and world events. His wife died while I was there. And this man kept saying to me over and over, "What is God waiting for? Why doesn't he take me home? I just want to die. I just want to go to heaven and be with my..." He had a crazy kind of peace. It was amazing. Just amazing. Jesus was born into a world of chaos that desperately needed peace. Because it's only when we have peace that we can clearly hear the voice of God. When we're in turmoil, things can get real confusing. We are vulnerable to the enemy's tactics. We need that crazy kind of peace. 2 weeks ago, what was my illustration 2 weeks ago? About love. It's not the same crowd that was here 2 weeks ago, is it? They're all different. World War I. Yeah, World War I. Christmas Eve. Somebody started singing Silent Night, then they stopped fighting, both sides. And then they all came out of their trenches, played soccer, shared gifts, told stories, spent Christmas Day together. Peace, just as much as love. That kind of peace. That's the crazy kind of peace that can stop a world war. That's what Jesus is offering us today. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is saying, take my peace. Here it is. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let them be afraid. No matter what you're going through, your present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that'll be revealed in you. Philippians 6, verse 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. We can't understand it. It just happens. It will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. John 16, 33. Jesus said, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. John 16, 33. Jesus is telling us, yeah, your circumstances, I'm not going to change them. I'm going to change you. In this world, you're going to have trouble. Don't think because you're a Christian, everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's not how it works. But I'm going to give you peace. Isaiah 9, verse 8, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. No doubt in this world we will have trouble. Jesus said so. But if we remember what Jesus went through for you and me and the peace that he had, well, he knows what he's talking about, and his word is true. So no matter what we're going through in our own lives, whether it's at home, church, work, neighborhood, family, our health, finances, no matter what it is, Jesus gives us his peace. It's a gift of Christmas. So don't let your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. Now that you have a handle on it, you need to share that with somebody you know who's struggling, somebody who's hurting. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. And now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. Now that's a Christmas gift that everybody can use. God loves you, and so do I.